Tzarayim tovim, boker tov. I will be trying to do my best to give a thorough and quick review of the laws of Tisha B'Av. Sorry that this recording will be a little bit longer than my usual style. There's just a lot to cover. So let's start from the beginning. Also, we're going to note the special halachot of this particular year when dealing with the coronavirus. So on Tisha B'Av, there are five tragedies which occurred, according to the Gemara, in Tainus. The five are the Meraglim, the sin of the spies, where the spies spoke badly against God in Eretz Yisrael. Chazal say that happened on the 9th of Av. And the second and first Beit HaMikdash were destroyed on the 9th of Av. Beitar was destroyed in the Bar Kokhba Rebellion, and Yerushalayim was plowed, which some mean to explain is we don't even remember what happened and how bad the destruction was. So our disconnection from the destruction itself is worth commemorating. In addition, we know throughout Jewish history many terrible things have happened on Tisha B'Av. For example, recently the outbreak of World War I actually happened on the 9th of Av, and the Gush Katif Pinoy happened also on the 9th of Av. So it's not a very happy day. It's a time of fasting and mourning. So let's go through the main ways in which we do this. This is a more than rabbinical fast. It's from the prophets, so it's a higher degree of stringency. Same time, it's not as strict as Yom Kippur. So for example, while normally with the other fasts, if someone is pregnant or is nursing, they're patur from the fast. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, even a pregnant person or a nursing woman would be obligated to fast unless they're feeling sick, if they're, throwing up or feeling very weak, then they would be considered a sick person, and a sick person is exempt from the fast of Tisha B'Av. Unlike when Yom Kippur, when it has to be kind of dangerously ill, anyone who's ill is not obligated to fast. However, if you're not fasting, that doesn't mean you should be having ice cream and cookies. You should just be having the basics in order to maintain your health. You don't have to eat the shiurim, but you can have snacks. You can have regular food. If you want, what many do is they won't eat on the night of Tisha B'Av just to join with the tzibur. But in the morning, they'll eat regularly. What are the five inuim, the five things which are prohibited? The first is food and drink. Simple enough, no eating or drinking on the 9th of Av from the night to night, from Shkia until Tzeita Kochavim, like on Yom Kippur. Okay, what about brushing your teeth? And these laws are based on the Pesach of the Pliny Halacha, normally he does allow brushing the teeth on Tisha B'Av. It's better not to brush your teeth. If you're really sensitive, you can brush your teeth without toothpaste if it really bothers you. Okay, what about the second thing which is forbidden on Tisha B'Av is washing with water. That's considered for pleasure. There's certainly no showers, even with cold water. No even spritzing your face. And not even going to the mikvah. Tough day for Hasidim, you can't go to the mikvah on Tisha B'Av. The exception to the rule is for filth. If for some reason you're dirty, you stepped in the mud or something like that, then you are allowed to wash your face. If your nose is bleeding, then you're allowed to, wash off what needs to be washed off. By the way, when it comes to food, I forgot to mention, smoking is a debate. In the Mishnah Berurah and others, whether one would be allowed to smoke on Tisha B'Av. Some do not allow it, and some say Bitzina, like privately, it would be permitted to deal with sadness, or some would only allow that in the afternoon, but generally people allow it. However, that noted, the Pini Halacha, and I agree, say that in general, smoking is bad for your health, we now know, and therefore it is prohibited, and if you're addicted, you should be trying your best to stop smoking because it's shmartim and afshatechem, even on Tisha B'Av. The third thing which is forbidden on Tisha B'Av is cosmetics, which means moisturizer, things which you put on to make yourself look nicer or prettier, or things like that. We don't put them on Tisha B'Av. If it's for medical purposes or like mosquito spray, probably suntan lotion, that would not be a problem. But for aesthetics, it would be a problem. Bisamim, sweet-smelling things, also the minhag is not to put it on Tisha B'Av. The fourth prohibited matter is shoes. We don't wear leather shoes on Tisha B'Av. And here we have a machlokas about Crocs and other comfortable shoes. In the time of Chazal, the only really comfortable shoes were leather shoes. Nowadays, we have nice sandals, which we wear all year long. So some rabbis are of the opinion that it's okay, as long as it's not leather. And others say that you shouldn't wear comfortable shoes. Lamaisa, you can, but it's better to be stringent. The ideal would be to wear the type of shoe where you'll feel the ground a little bit. So like a slipper of type, something like that. I remember once in camp, I just wore socks and there's a lot of rocks. It was a very rocky Tisha B'Av. But the point is to feel the morning a little bit. In the army, leather shoes are permitted if you need them for army purposes. Then when I was in the army, you can be stringent. You can be lenient. Not really lenient, but that's a different matter. The fifth forbidden matter is marital relations. A husband and wife are not supposed to be together, and at night they're supposed to keep the harchakot like they were in Nida, so they don't pass things, they don't sleep on the same bed. During the day, the Pnimi Alecha writes, they don't have to keep all those stringencies, but they shouldn't give affectionate hugs, right, or things like that. Okay, in addition, there are a few halachot relating to avelus, mourning. Specifically, the hardest thing for a lot of us is you're not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. We'll have to explain that, because Torah makes a person happy, and a mourner is forbidden from learning Torah. With that said, there are certain types of Torah which remind you of the pain of Tisha B'Av, and they are permitted. So, for example, the sad prophecies of Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel and Yeshayahu are permitted. Iyov, except the happy ending, is permitted. The Gemaras in Gittin, 55b to 55a, which talk about the Churban, are permitted. The Tochacha and Chumash is permitted. And here's a big leniency, Musar. Anything relating to becoming a better person, like, you know, Chafetz Chaim, Shari Tshuva, Mesilas Yesharim, even the English books, all of those matters are permitted on Tisha B'Av, because it will help you become a better person, so you can beef up on those types of books. Because ultimately, the point of fasting is to do tshuva, so it will make you a better person. That's fine. Also, learning the laws of mourning, the laws of Tisha B'Av, and learning about the history of the Churban are permitted. However, things which are completely disconnected to the Tisha B'Av, even if they're not Torah, like just reading the paper, is not appropriate. It should be things related to the sadness or Tisha B'Av, if possible. Another thing which is forbidden on Tisha B'Av is greetings. We don't greet each other, even with a Boker Tov. However, some posts can believe the only problem is to say the word Shalom. And so certainly, if somebody doesn't know this law and they're going to be insulted by the fact you're not greeting them with Boker Tov, you can, in a kind of sad way, say hi, Boker Tov, if you see someone. Tiulim, you're not supposed to take Tiulim, nice, enjoyable walks on Tisha B'Av, but certainly not with other people. Even going to a grave, which is a custom of many after Kinos, you shouldn't do it with a group of other people. However, one exception is going to the Kotel. You are allowed to go to the Kotel. The Kotel, of course, reminds us of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So what better place to be on Tisha B'Av? So that's fine. Just if you see your friends, don't give them a big hug. Normal years, you can give them a handshake. And this year, you can give them a corona shake. And just don't, you know, you're not supposed to schmooze and hang out like you're a mourner. But you shouldn't avoid the Kotel just because you might see some people. In terms of prayer, one last mourning item. We sit on the floor So if you want to take a little chair that's less than three tefachim, that's fine. Otherwise, we sit on the floor like mourners until midday. If that's hard for you, it's okay. You can be lenient and have a comfortable chair for old people, pregnant ladies, because this is not a halacha, it's a minhag. But nonetheless, minhag is to sit on the floor. Some don't sit directly on the floor for Kabbalistic reasons, but they put some sort of thing in between, like by a carpet. Also, it separates. The parochet is covered in the shul, and the shul is darkened, especially for Eicha, and around the house we usually sit in a bit more darkness. And many have accustomed to sleep either on the floor or with one less pillow in some sort of less comfortable way. Remember, that's what we used to do in camp. Tefillin is not worn in the morning of Tisha B'Av. Only at midday do most people have the custom to wear tefillin and talis. And then you will say Shema at that point. Some do say tefillin in the morning, but the custom usually is to wait till midday, because tefillin is a pe'er and we are in a state of mourning. Whereas in the second half of the day, there's a little bit more of a laid back, some of the laws are more laid back. You are allowed to prepare food for after the fast come midday. Women have a custom to clean the house, the krat mashiach, that's okay. Tachanun is not said on Tisha B'Av or Erev Tisha B'Av. It's an interesting halacha because in some ways it's a moed, because Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. That's a hopeful halacha. And Shasali Kotzarchi, which refers to shoes, is said on Tisha B'Av, because it refers to the shoes that we have or the shoes that we're wearing after Tisha B'Av. Also, one important halacha I forgot to mention, in terms of Netilat Yadayim, so you do need to do Netilat Yadayim in the morning. So what we do is we wash a little bit of water up until our knuckles. You wash until the knuckles. If you go to the bathroom, you touch an impure place, so you'll actually have to wash your hands up until the knuckles, which is the minimum you need to wash. Tefillah additions. So of course we add Eicha tonight after Maariv, and some have the custom to read it to themselves in the morning. We add Kinot. Eicha does not have to be read with a cloth, with a bracha, according to some customs, and some do read it with a bracha. Most don't say it with a bracha. And Nachem is a special prayer morning Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash and Har HaBayit, which is added in addition to the regular Aninu, which is added on fast days. Ashkenazim will only say this in Mincha of Erev Shabbos, in Mincha of the last Mincha of the Davening, whereas Nusach Sfard says it throughout Davening, both Aninu and Nachem, at least if you are fasting. Okay, after Tisha B'Av ends, we do Havdalah, and we still don't drink wine or have meat, because of this Beis HaMikdash building still being destroyed until midday of the 10th day, tomorrow. And many have the custom to refrain from laundry and music and any kind of outward expression of joy until midday again of the next day. But you can eat your meal. A few additions just for Corona. David Lau, who's the chief rabbi of Israel, I believe, or at least of Tel Aviv, wrote that a few things to bear in mind for this year in particular. This year, if you have Corona or are recovering from Corona, you should not fast. If you are sick in general, meaning of a fever, we'll be extra careful. You should not fast. And washing with soap or alcohol or things like that are encouraged this year, because pikuach nefesh is more important. And in addition, if you don't have to go to shul, you're encouraged not to go to a shul. If you want to go to shul, then do it minimally. We won't say as long kinos. You could say eicha and kinos at home. We're going to try to, not hang out too much, to not spread corona to end this magifa. One last note on a personal level. So after Tisha B'Av, we do Kiddush Levana because we're able to be happy. And we weren't able to be happy before that. And I personally like to sing and dance at the Kotel, get some chevra, dance, and bring some joy back to Am Yisrael. Everyone who wants, let me know. You're welcome to join in. And it's always important to remind ourselves what the Rambam says, that on the one hand, there's an inyan of being sad, not being, you know, not being too happy on Tisha B'Av. But on the other hand, the goal is not to be depressed. The goal is to do tshuva, to reflect, to do introspection, to give tzedakah with the extra money that we're not eating with, and to ask ourselves, how can I improve, especially ben adam l'chaveiro, so that we won't have to be doing another Tisha B'Av in the future. Bezrat Hashem, hopefully we'll be dancing and singing in the Beis HaMikdash, celebrating together this Tisha B'Av, and if not this one, hopefully soon. Bezrat Hashem. Have a very meaningful and introspective and transformative Tisha B'Av, and it should be a powerful day for all.